Just leave your gun on a good beer on a tip. Lean back and stay a while now with the beer monitor.
How would you like to visit the American Pavilion at Expo 67 in Montreal, Canada? Well, you'll feel as if you have after you hear a report on it in this half hour of Monitor. I'm your host, Ted Steele, introducing Herbie Alpert and the Tijuana Brass with A Town Without Pity. Creative America is the theme of the United States Pavilion at Expo 67 in Montreal. And the tone is set by the geodesic dome of the building, designed by one of our most creative architects, Buckminster Fuller. Ben Grauer of NBC News visited the United States exhibit, and here is his report.
Here at the U.S. Pavilion at Expo 67, there are streams of people coming into the geodesic bubble, some 200 feet in height, 250 feet in diameter, which dances on the horizon when you view it from the city of Montreal, and now inside the bubble dances with life and animation and expression of what those who created this exhibit think are expressions of the creative America. That's the theme title of the exhibit. The exhibit itself is remarkable in that there is not a great quantity of material in it. There's more space than stuff. A number of interesting exhibits of American tradition expressed through our folklore and folk craft to recall some of the roots of the American spirit. And then we move on into recalling of great names of our cinema. And there you see 30-foot blow-up photos of Gary Cooper and of Mary Pickford and Marilyn Monroe, and smaller pictures of numerous of the stars of the past. There's even a reproduction of Tom Mix's Great White Horse and Tom himself alongside it. The next level takes you to a pop art, op art section. Some of them glow, some of them are mute, but they all are expression of the most ultra in American art and originating in American art. The next stage takes us up to space, and here we see the actual capsules in which America has achieved some of its notable historic space firsts. Streams and streams of people, and over all, space. That is the dominating quality you feel, not space in the sense of outer space, but a sense of largeness, areas, ease, cool, and calm. Now, these are reactions which we have. I wonder just how we could compare these reactions to those of someone who specialized in this field. I see alongside me Melanie Cahane, the distinguished interior designer who is a member of the American team that put together our pavilion at the Brussels Exposition in 1958.
Incidentally, Melanie happens to be my wife, so it's so comfortable that I can have a chance to talk with her about this. What would you say, Melanie, is your impression as you enter the pavilion?
Entering the United States Pavilion, you feel a new sensory experience. I get this feeling of a sensation is unfamiliar when you enter, but it's exciting. And actually, you're not in an exhibit. You're in a new, completely 20th century environment.
The other exhibit areas are jammed with stuff, with hardware. Look at this we built and look at this we make. And this doesn't say any of that. It expresses other things about America. This space area gives us the highest position and gives us, in a sense, Mel, a chance to review our recollections before we leave the pavilion. What would be your overall feeling about what's been done here?
Well, I think it's best expressed by a foreign visitor that I spoke to, and he said, speaking of the United States, he says, you know, we know they've got the best TV, the best radios, the best washing machines. Now we know they have something else. They've got maturity. It's all so understated. And they've also got humor. Their op art and the cinema and the tradition, Indian folk art, the bird decoys, the branding irons, the campaign buttons. I think that's what this whole thing expresses, and as I said in the beginning, the enormous potential that the geodesic dome suggests.
It's good to have an authoritative word from Melanie Cahane on what we're looking at and feeling about the American Pavilion. This is Ben Grauer reporting for Monitor.
Mr. and Mrs. Grauer at Expo 67. Connie Francis with a pretty import from Italy, the San Remo Festival winner, Time Alone Will Tell, and I Alone Will Tell Time. It's 17 minutes past the hour on the Monitor Beacon. Monitor music next, a new song by Paul Anka, who's celebrating his 10th anniversary as a star, A Woman is a Sentimental Thing.
A woman treasures little things you give her through the years. Silly little that fill her eyes with tears. Funny how her memories are tied to souvenirs. A woman is a sentimental thing. starts collecting things. Just read between the lines. Fill her life with lollipops and paper valentines. A woman is a sentimental thing. Surprise her with a box of candy. Always has some roses handy. Make like it's a birthday every day. You'll feel foolish now and then, but when you pass the 5 and 10, try to find a thing or two. It's a sentimental thing to do. You don't have to buy her things like diamonds, rings, and pearls. Just remember that her heart is like a little girl's. Even when she's 65, with silver in her curls, a woman is a sentimental thing. A woman is a sentimental.
In one moment, Paul Crispin and Stu Holcomb will attempt to make some sense out of the confusing soccer situation in the United States. Monitor Sports is brought to you by Osro Products, manufacturers of the Osro Pressure Washer, Ted, Pressure Washer, Tornado Car Vacuum, and other car care items.
Gentlemen, as employees of Friendly Fred's 6-Minute Car Wash, you all remember our days of glory. Remember those steady streams of cars backed up as far as the eye could see?
Yeah. And all of us up to our hip boots, scrubbing and brushing. But what happened, Sam?
Happened? I'll tell you what happened. Osro Products came up with a complete car cleaning package for folks to use at home.
You mean Osro's pressure car washer?
Exactly. It does everything that we used to do. Just flick the dial-o-matic switch and it sprays detergent, soluble wax, or clear rinse water. Boy.
But how about the insides? That's half of a good clean car. As head of the internal vacuum department, I...
That's the other half of Osro's breakthrough. Their Tornado Car Vacuum plugs right into the cigarette lighter and really does the job. These Osro twins leave cars sparkling clean inside and out. But do you know what really hurts loyal employees of Friendly Fred's 6-Minute Car Wash?
No. What's that, Sam?
Osro does it in just 5 minutes.
This is Paul Crispin for Monitor Sports, and today we're talking to Stu Holcomb, the former athletic director at Northwestern University, who is now a soccer tycoon. Stu, there are two leagues going. I don't think the public understands completely what is going on. Give us a little information to start with on the two leagues.
Well, first of all, Paul, there were three groups that met with the USFA, which is the United States Soccer Association. And the Soccer Association decided there could be only one league, so they looked at all three of the groups asking for franchises, and they chose one. And it happened to be the group that I am with, which is now called the United Soccer Association, USA. Now, the other two groups decided they're a little bit unhappy about this, so they went their own way, and they formed their own league outside of USFA, which in all terminology is an outlaw league. This is not my terminology. Mm-hmm. This is what they're known as. So they are not recognized by the national body or the international body of soccer. So you have, Paul, in this country now, accepted and recognized league, which is our league, called United Soccer Association, and the National Professional Soccer Association. So you have the two different leagues.
We had a little conversation of a possible merger, Stu. What about that?
Well, there have been talk about a merger, and we have both groups have committees. But both groups have decided to wait until after this season play, which is about approximately September, to get together and see what can come of a merger.
Can you give me a little idea? Is there any difference in the talent in the two leagues or this type of play?
We felt in our league that we could not get teams ready in 3 or 4 months' time. And so we went, we are 12 cities within our league. We have 12 franchises. Each city has a foreign team coming in representing them this year. For instance, the Chicago Mustangs have the Cagliari team from Sardinia, Italy. And they'll be here for the 6 weeks representing us and playing.
Now, what do you mean 6 weeks?
Just from June and July, and then they'll go back home. We have 12 games, 6 away and 6 at home. So they'll be here just for the 6 weeks.
Well, these guys should be really pros.
This is the first division of soccer in Europe and South America. We have teams from all over, Ireland, Scotland, Brazil, Italy, Germany, England, and their teams representing this our league. So if you ask me there's a difference, the other group, and again, I don't want to step on their toes, but they've taken men who are a little bit older or else they're so young that they don't care because, see, every player in this country in soccer has to be registered. And when they join a league such as they've done, they're asking for a little bit of trouble because they're outside of recognized soccer.
Stu Holcomb, can the American public learn to really understand soccer?
Paul, I'd answer that quickly. I saw a game down in Houston, Texas, which was one of our exhibition games between two outstanding teams, Real Madrid of Spain and Liverpool of England. And now Houston people did not know soccer. But after 15 minutes, they knew very well what was going on. The main objective was to get the ball down the field and in the net. And they appreciated the attempts on the goal. They appreciated the contact, seeing guys get knocked around.
And they do get knocked around. I've seen a little of this.
It's not as much as football, but they really do get knocked around.
Thank you. We've been talking to Stu Holcomb, and this is Paul Chrisman for Monitor Sports.
You meet the most interesting people in the field of sports every weekend on Monitor.
Sunny weekends and out we go to soak up the sun. But sometimes we soak up too much sun too fast. Then what happens?
Sunburn. Suddenly you feel on fire. At night you toss and turn.
Painful sunburn is so needless. Solarcane stops sunburn pain fast. Faster and more completely than ordinary first aids. Because Solarcane contains pain-killing benzocaine used by doctors. Solarcane puts pain nerves to sleep. Actually stops the sensation of pain itself. Cools, soothes, aids healing, too, as it stops sunburn pain.
I use Solarcane all year round. Solarcane stops painful sting of detergent hands, kitchen burns.
That's right. From tired, hot feet to work sore hands, it's Solarcane for me.
Get Solarcane lotion, cream, or spray today. Use Solarcane all year round for dozens of minor skin troubles that hurt, burn, or itch. Stop skin pain with Solarcane.
A message here from the 1967 United Negro College Fund. How would you like to help many thousands of bright but economically deprived young people fulfill their potential? You can by giving to the United Negro College Fund. It helps support 33 predominantly Negro colleges and universities, which currently enroll 35,000 economically deprived students of all races and creeds. You can give to the United Negro College Fund, Grand Central Station, New York City, 10017.
Thank you.
Marching Along to Penny Lane, played by Kai Winding, ace trombonist. Monitor all across America on NBC Radio. For instance, in Texas, WBAP serves the Fort Worth area. Wherever you're listening, stay with us. We'll be back after a brief time out.
The Doorway to Death, a new special tomorrow on the NBC Radio Network.
Here's a treat that's hard to beat. Two Wetson's government-inspected all-beef burgers topped with velvety smooth cheese on a toasted bun. Love that Wetson's cheeseburger. In Colmac, Long Island, there's a Wetson's on Jericho Turnpike opposite Gimbel's at the Mayfair Shopping Center. Monitor 67, and I'm your host, Ted Steele. The dog days are coming again, and we're going to get some expert advice on how to care for dogs in the summertime. That subject is just 2 minutes away. Here's that good group called Harper's Bazaar with some warm weather music. It's Come to the Sunshine. Everybody loves vacation time, except for one member of the family who doesn't always fare too well. The dog. The dog doesn't fit in at some vacation spots, and some methods of travel are hard on him, too. For some advice on this subject, our guest is Dr. Norman H. Johnson. Dr. Johnson, who has been on the staff of the ASPCA in New York for 20 years, is currently senior staff clinician and is also a member of the American Veterinarian Association. He is the author of a book titled The Complete Puppy and Dog Book. Dr. Johnson, where can you consider taking your dog if you're going to be traveling this summer?
Most of the airlines and the steamship lines will provide carry-in cases, or you can provide your own. And with the advent of tranquilizers, it's easier to take a dog now than it used to be.
Oh, you just give him a little pill, huh?
That is right.
Any rules, Doctor, about dogs in cars?
Dogs, before they're taken on automobile rides, should never be fed, because if they're fed, they're liable to vomit. You can always feed at the end of the journey, and you should provide sufficient air so they won't become car sick.
Good. Aside from the tranquilizer that you mentioned, is it possible to train a dog to ride quietly in a car?
Yes, it is, by gradually taking him out on short trips and then lengthening these trips until he gets to like it. Some dogs like to ride in a car.
How about taking your dog to a foreign country once you get him tranquilized and all used to traveling and so forth?
You can take your dog to most every foreign country except England. England is the only country that won't allow dogs. There's a 6 months quarantine. In foreign countries, they treat dogs very well, just like we do in our country.
I didn't realize that.
Yes, they do. In fact, in some foreign countries, you can take your dog right in the restaurant with you, which you can't do here.
I read about that. I believe Germany allows it now.
Yes, they do. And France.
Are there places that are hard on dogs, Doctor? The climate and sand at the seashore, for instance?
Well, I don't think dogs should go to the seashore because the temperature is always too hot and these dogs won't stand that high temperature. And also, they dislike the sand. It gets in their feet and their eyes and they start to scratch and you run into difficulty if you take your dog to the seashore.
Do sand fleas attack dog fleas?
Sand fleas gang up with dog fleas, I believe.
How about clipping the dogs in the summer? What breed should be clipped?
There are many breeds that should be clipped. The terrier breeds generally are clipped in the summer, although the long-haired dogs should never be clipped because this serves a protection against the heat.
Oh, really?
Yes, it's a mistaken idea to clip the long-haired dog.
Like what? Like a collie, for
instance? Collie or an English sheepdog. Any type of long-haired dog.
I always feel sorry for those sheepdogs. They just that long hair all over their eyes and so forth.
It seems to protect them from the heat, though.
Interesting. How about the summer diet for dogs, Doctor?
In the summertime, of course, the diet should be kept smaller than it is during the winter. In the winter, they need more food for energy and heat, but in the summer, they don't need that. A light diet is always good in the summertime.
All right. Now, how about bathing dogs a lot in summer? When that heat moves in on us, you feel sorry for the pooch. Should you give them a little spray with a hose?
Oh, I think you can give them an extra bath during the summertime. Spraying with a hose isn't always too good.
Why?
Well, sometimes they get soaking wet and they'll get in a draft and become sick. So it's better if you hose them to dry them down well.
Just like a human.
Yes.
I wanted to ask Dr. Johnson about the care of puppies and kittens.
Well, the new puppy or the new kitten should be fed the same as it has been fed with the previous owner or the man who sold them to you. Then gradually you should change the diet. But he'll do better if you stick to the diet which he has been used to.
The natural inclination, especially with kittens, is to immediately put down a saucer of milk. How about that?
Well, too much milk isn't too good to start in with kittens. They do better on solid food. Meat, fish, chicken, and so forth.
Here's a big question, Dr. Johnson. What's the proper way to housebreak a puppy?
I think your main thing is to be continually after the puppy. After he eats and any time you see him sniffing around, if you pick him up and put him on the paper, and as he gets older, your best thing to do is to take him out directly after you feed him, first thing in the morning, last thing at night, and when you anticipate him going in the in-between times, take him out quickly. He'll soon get used to it. I don't know any adult dogs that aren't housebroken.
Our expert on the canine world has been Dr. Norman H. Johnson, author of The Complete Puppy and Dog Book. Thank you very much, Dr. Johnson, for visiting with us on Monitor.
You're welcome. Goodbye, Ted.
Nice to see you. Looks like three in a row for Frankie on the big comeback trail. Frankie Lane, and you wanted someone to play with. Played here on the Monitor Beacon.
Hello, Brad. This is Lee.
Yes, my boy. I can see.
Let's discuss.
Without fuss.
The way we handle...
calls for Crandall.
And for Leonard.
Splendid.
I mean.
Oh, no.
I mean.
How so?
On the phone. I insult.
My dear boy. And the result?
They call again.
Good grief. When?
Every day.
You don't say. Now, I'm nice.
No advice?
Oh, I'm nice.
That's twice.
On the phone, I'm polite.
My good man. Is that right?
Well, they keep calling.
How appalling.
Every day.
What a way.
It seems clear to me.
We don't quite agree.
Ah, but I know.
On your show.
The caller's all clamor.
Only Leonard's glamour.
And Brad Crandall's wise winning ways.
Listen to us on WNBC.
And call us at Plaza 78866.
Weekdays from 1 till 4.
Weeknights from 9 till midnight.
WNBC New York, the big voice of Big Town USA, is the sound of living.
At 13 before the hour, Monitor Music. It's the Billy Vaughn Singers with I Love You and You Love Me. Space, reported by Peter Hackus, NBC News, Washington. This week, a general look at man's progress in this newest area of discovery and exploration.
It's graduation time, and all over the country, hundreds of thousands of young Americans are leaving ivy-covered halls of learning and moving out into the fearsome paths of life's reality. Well, one of these days, the far-out dreamers will tell us, commencement exercises may be held on the moon, where selected students will have completed their advanced science courses in geology, biology, astronomy, or any of the other sciences to which study on the moon will undoubtedly add. But graduates of the future won't have to go to the moon to become part of what's being called the new sciences. Every day, right here on Earth, their talents will be needed to solve problems, make discoveries, and generally move man ahead. Many a college graduate this month of graduations will tell you he doesn't feel there's much of a chance that all the new discoveries have long since been made, all of the new thoughts already thought. If he says this, however, he's being blinded by his own immediate fears, quite understandably. So much is happening each day that man is constantly spreading out into new fields. To give you an idea of how fast things have been moving over the last 100 years or so, it took us 112 years to fully develop photography, from its basic concept to the manufacture of a commercial camera. It took us only 56 years to work out the telephone. Radio was perfected and made available in the short span of 35 years. Radar took us only 15. Television needed only 12 years. The atomic bomb moved from theory to Hiroshima in 6 years. The transistor came along in only 5. And it took us just a little over 4 years to move from the first unsuccessful Vanguard satellite launching, which, as you recall, followed Sputnik 1 back in the fall of 1957, 4 years from that day till we sent John Glenn into orbit in 1962. And there's not the slightest hint that man has any intention of slowing down or of confining his interest to things already known. The way we're moving today, it's quite possible the graduate of 1967, a few years from now, will be working in an occupation that hasn't even been thought of today. Man, by his very nature, will move ahead into the depths of outer space and to anywhere else he chooses. There's more than enough room along the way for someone with ideas. In fact, people like that are a necessity. Peter Hackus, NBC News, Washington.
Ed Ames describes love that lasts forever.
You want the love that my heart wants to give, but I must know that as long as I live, when I need you, you'll always be there. Your tender, comforting arms will tell me you want to share. Love that lasts forever, happiness together, sharing rain or rainbow, day by day. And when life is stormy, forever, come what may. Love isn't love if it's not shared by two. Care about me like I care about you. Don't take my heart and then change your mind. But if you really love me, I know that we're sure to find love that lasts forever.
Funny how sunburn sort of sneaks up on you. Remember how you got your last sunburn?
Driving with the top down.
On the golf course.
At the beach.
Out fishing.
Most authorities agree that you can get a painful sunburn anywhere, but especially where sun, wind, and water all contribute. But nowadays, no need to let painful sunburn ruin your weekend or vacation. Solarcaine stops sunburn pain fast, faster and more completely than ordinary first aids. Why? Because Solarcaine contains pain-killing benzocaine used by doctors. Yes, Solarcaine takes the pain right out of pain nerves, puts them to sleep, cools, soothes, helps heal too as it stops sunburn pain.
Use Solarcaine all year round. Relieves minor skin troubles that burn, hurt, or itch. Kitchen burns, detergent hands, little cuts and scrapes, insect bites.
Get Solarcaine lotion, cream, or spray today. Stop skin pain with Solarcaine.
Tomorrow afternoon on Monitor, Henry Morgan interviews Dagmar. Remember Dagmar from Jerry Lester's Broadway open house on television? Well, now Dagmar has written a book. But don't worry, friends, she hasn't changed. The book is a spy thriller called The Spy with the Blue Kazoo. Honest. Also tomorrow, Arlene Francis talks with singer Paul Anka. And there'll be comedy by Nichols and May and reports from Chet Huntley. Also sports and music. All with Henry Morgan on Monitor. Saturday night host, Ted Steele, for Monitor.
This is Monitor, the first and foremost radio service on the NBC radio network.